You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major Seven. We are formed like Voltron, as we always are.
Nice.
Bam is in the building, my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well. You know, another week closer to All-Star.
Yeah.
You know, I can feel excitement in the city. So a lot of you are just going to be let down when it gets here, but it's all good.
Oh, they're definitely going to be let down.
It's like, what do you mean I'm not a VIP this weekend?
Yeah. No, no. Yeah. Old Jimmy that you know at the front door, not going to let you in. Oh, sorry.
You know, the funny thing is like, you know, I know people who have already been hit up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you guys still doing that thing? It's like, no. I told someone, if you want to really kind of scale back people asking you for stuff, when they call you up, of course, only when they want something.
Yeah.
Ask them, hey, when's my birthday? You don't have to get the exact day. Just say the month.
Listen,
that'll get some people off.
This is going to be a city full of hurt feelings.
Yes.
In a couple weeks. My man Longevity. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. I don't care when your birthday is.
Mine or just everybody else's?
Just in general.
Him and 50 don't care.
In general.
Yeah.
But I know every single one of your guys' birthdays.
But you're the person that is just posted in January and like, happy birthday to all of y'all.
You know. Is that
you?
True.
Yeah. I think that's you, though.
I had to stop doing that because I started feeling a little weird. What if somebody actually doesn't have a birthday that year? And I was like,
ugh. Okay.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I didn't until like 4 years after doing it. I was like, wait, that's kind of...
So you were a jerk and you were like, man, let me stop.
I don't think it's a jerk. It was just, I just didn't want that energy.
Sometimes you just be aware, you find yourself aware of things.
I got you.
Yeah,
all right, fair enough.
That's about it.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah. Good to see you as always,
right,
brother.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Man, stop, man. DJ J. Dib, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good?
What's happening, man? I'm here, you know.
Okay.
Another Tuesday. Or Thursday for y'all.
In the trenches, huh?
Radio. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I don't know about the trenches, but
this ain't the trenches, really.
Sir. Normal day in Naptown, you know.
Yeah, comfortable environment. This definitely is not the trenches.
Shouts to the Conk Republic down in Key West.
I hate you. I really hate you.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
Yeah,
I've never had a friend. I've never had a friend that's like a brother in my life, and I'm the one that's normally the person that frustrates people. I'll admit that. That's usually me. Balone, for some reason, will frustrate. Like, him just eating raisins frustrates me. Am I a bad person for that? Is that something that
I feel? A lot of things frustrate. People spending money on regular things frustrates you.
It don't frustrate me. That don't frustrate me.
I don't know. Hold on. I can't tell.
I worked on that.
It doesn't matter if you come in here with a Hanes t-shirt or a Target t-shirt.
I've changed, bro.
It's always, are you balling, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even say, hey, man, shouts to the Conk Republic.
So look,
hold on. Did you go to the Conk Republic or did somebody?
I
didn't.
Somebody brought me a gift. I got a gift.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, somebody brought me a gift.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, man. I haven't counted Joe pockets in a long time, Terry. If we being honest,
you did today, didn't you?
I didn't count his pockets. Don't do that.
I mean,
I gave him flowers today. Actually, I ain't count his pockets though. I didn't say he was balling.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
This is the
Jay Moore has on a jersey today.
Very nice one, I might add.
So.
But what I'm saying is
count his pockets.
Here's
in typical Major 7-4.
Here's my argument, bro. We go through this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to be consistent. So if I'm being a bad person,
right,
we have to be consistent and say sorry.
Right.
That's stupid. Sorry. I really got frustrated. All right, look. We have to be consistent.
Why did
you
get frustrated this time?
I'm not about to do this because it's gonna raise my blood pressure. Stop, man. All right, so look.
He can't enjoy no raisins?
This is what I tell my wife.
Oh, my God, man.
I have a medical condition.
You do. I feel you. I respect that.
I'm allowed to eat
just
raisins.
Just don't eat them around me, man.
What offends you so much?
Listen, man, what I'm saying
about
is
about someone just enjoying a fine dried
it's
grape.
It's a white woman.
Yeah, so... Well, okay, not, Dr. Umar.
Listen to me. It's not about that. What I'm saying is,
when I eat raisins, I will not be eating raisins with no white woman on the box.
We have to be consistent.
And they're white grapes, too.
We have to be consistent. Here's why.
Okay.
If I'm being a bad person, I expect everybody on this panel to be like, Mike, you tripping. Mikey showing out, Mikey tripping.
Okay.
But if I show change, if I show an inkling of trending in the right upward or in the right direction, y'all have to do the same thing, bro. You got to be consistent. So Terry's supposed to say, Mike, you know what? You ain't really told me. You have not counted my pockets in 2 months. Is there anything wrong with that? It's only 2 months, but is there anything wrong with that? Or am I being emotional?
Can I speak?
Go ahead, man. Yeah, go ahead.
It's my turn. Yeah, as a fully changed individual, if you have fully changed, you don't go looking for validation in that way.
Mm.
So, okay. But look, here's my rebuttal.
Okay.
What if I need that to help me continue on my path?
Then you have a real conversation about that. Like, hey, man, I'd really appreciate encouragement because I have so many messed up characteristics.
That's what I just said. in a nutshell, that's what I just said. I'm opening up to y'all.
Yeah, but you said it in a roundabout way. You said, hey, you know, I've been showing that I've been doing good. But you telling us what we're witnessing. How do you know that we are actually witnessing that, even though that you think that you're doing it?
I would hope that y'all...
He needs
witnessing.
Clout validation.
It's not about clout. It's not about clout.
What if you think that you're making changes, but you're actually not? You're doing just the minimum.
I would expect you to say, and I would expect you to be petty and say,
that's not
Mike, you're doing the bare minimum. I love you, but you're doing the bare minimum.
So you think that's petty rather than holding you accountable?
No, because coming from you is petty and holding me accountable. So those are two that you can do both. You can multitask on that.
I know.
So you just pick the raisins up. Like, this is what I'm talking about.
The raisins are bothering
you. It bothers me. It does.
But see, that's not growth. You're just moving your dysfunction from one place to another. If you go from asking people, you know, counting their pockets to being bothered by someone enjoying a fine fruit snack, then that's just, you know, you're just moving the dysfunction away.
Can I go just a little bit deeper?
Go ahead, man.
Okay, so
this is going to turn into something.
No, it already has. So we're here,
go
right?
Ahead. Go ahead.
So it's like the idea of, I'm going to lose some people, but hopefully I don't lose too many people.
Go ahead, man.
It's the idea of addiction, right?
Uh-huh.
We understand what addiction is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you are addicted to a certain thing. Maybe I'm addicted to raisins. Maybe you're addicted to... I don't know.
Crack.
Oh, great selection.
Not you.
Great choice.
Just in general,
right?
Example,
people are addicted to alcohol. People are addicted to sugar. People are addicted to a lot of things, right?
Right.
The thing that is the addiction a lot of times, or that we call the addiction, is just the thing that we're addicted to. It's not necessarily the behavior that is creating the addiction. So a lot of people that stop being addicted with alcohol will go over and they'll pick that up with something else.
To offset it, to compensate.
Because it's not addressing the actual addiction.
Gotcha.
So what you could potentially be doing here.
I love the Muslim hands. I love that.
Is that Muslim hands?
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Hey, get in the comments.
That's different.
I never heard of this before.
I know some Muslim brothers that...
You said Muslim?
Muslim. Give me
right. You a Muslim now? Don't want to chase tail?
Yes.
I mean, that's more like a chef. Like something.
I got a homeboy that's actually Muslim that does this. That's why I said that.
This is hone in. Maybe a lot of Muslims like to hone in.
I got a homeboy that's Muslim that actually does that. That's why I said that.
So you're classifying that movement for just all Muslims.
I don't know that many Muslims. So the one I know that does that, though. So shout out to all my Muslim brothers, though. Go ahead.
So
man.
My point was essentially that you could be just moving one characteristic over to another one. Just because you stop doing one characteristic doesn't mean that you're actually addressing what's
the elephant in the room.
The behavior.
Oh,
well, the behavior. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
Not necessarily any you particular, but mate, let's use you as an example.
Oh, yeah, please.
But maybe that's what it is, right? So you think that you have done good and changed your ways in X, whatever X is, right?
Yeah.
But have you actually changed the behavior behind it, or have you just stopped doing one of the things that is behind said behavior?
TED Talk.
That's TED Talk. Yeah, he podding right now.
I mean, it's just having a conversation type thing.
For sure. You know,
sure.
Well, you know, we want
everything that makes you feel bad makes you feel so good, right?
So good.
Man, that's not the song, though.
No, that's definitely not the song.
Yeah, it's like Tony, right?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Oh, man.
Feels good. It's not so.
I know it feels good, but yeah, but that's the Tony Tony.
You be
Tony
playing
song,
like
right?
You don't know the songs. You really be knowing the
song. That's the Tony 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 song.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's the only Tony 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 song that I know off top.
If you heard more, you would know them.
Probably because they're kind of a big thing for a while. But yeah.
Plus, you know, if you watch certain movies, you know these things just through osmosis. You know,
like Boomerang and stuff. I'm sure there's some songs in Boomerang.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave it alone. Boomerang's a good movie, though.
It is. It's Yeah. But it seems like, you know, feels
Tony,
good.
Tony might be being, a boomerang.
Yeah.
That wasn't a boomerang song.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No.
I think there's probably a positive.
Yeah, we know that. That was not.
He said, I'm positive.
I feel like there's a couple scenes where that would work.
Yeah. You're trying to redo the music direction in your head.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, the next thing you know, because Lone is a genius, man. He scores films. I've seen him do it. He's going to score Boomerang and put
all Tony
songs throughout the whole movie and just release it and be like, y'all check this out.
You know what I thought
about? So don't tempt him, because he definitely will do that.
I have an idea.
I mean, there is a Tony song in there.
Oh, is there?
Do you know the record?
Yeah.
See?
Just name the song, man.
Just me and you.
Good point.
Man, it's almost like I was right.
It is almost like you were right.
That's
almost.
Not Boomerang.
I thought we were talking about. Oh,
it's Boys in the Hood. Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, okay. Boys in the Hood. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, that's Boys in the Hood.
I would have had it too.
I was really thinking about Boys
about ready
Hood.
To ride out. Yeah. Nah, that's actually, I know the scene.
I don't think Tony have a song on Boomerang.
Because Boomerang's soundtrack is.
It's a good soundtrack.
It's very memorable.
Top to bottom.
Yeah.
Kim Dawn, A Tribe Called Quest. They had the only song on the soundtrack that's not in the movie. Hot Sex is not in the movie. Yeah.
Johnny Gill.
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men.
Tony Braxton.
Yeah. That whole sound. That's one of the best soundtracks ever, in my opinion.
Okay, I have another random thing before we jump in. Do you guys actually like the Hot Sex on a Platter song by Tribe?
I think it's cool.
Yeah, I'm with it.
I hate that beat.
It's not a.
Yeah, I'm with that, man.
I like the beat, though.
Yeah, I like the beat, man. I got a good vibe to it, to me. Yeah.
Remember when Helter Skelter tried to do? I'm not saying try to do. They redid a song that basically has that same beat called "I Ain't Having That." That was the first song off their Magnum
Helter
Force
Skelter.
Album.
Hmm.
Yeah, remember that. Off their second album, Magnum Force.
We'll be back after a quick break.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on it only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man. I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah. Look, we all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real. I gotta lie.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
What was the first one called?
Nocturnal.
That's when they were the bat joints. Yeah, okay. All right.
The floor. That was
Scotia.
Yeah, that was.
You got me on that one, bro. I'm going to have to pull that one up. Huh.
I liked it at the time.
It didn't age well, though, did it? High Sex aged. That aged.
I mean, when I you just think so. About.
I never liked
you don't it. Think, like, you don't it think? This is the crazy thing. It wouldn't have. I don't know if it would have fit on any of the Tribe Called Quest albums.
I think it would have.
High Sex
would have fit on.
You would have put that on, like, Midnight Marauders? No, you wouldn't.
What came after Midnight Marauders? Low End? No. With the graffiti and what was the album?
Beats Rhymes Life.
Beats Rhymes and Life.
You're right.
It might have slid in there. Because High Sex is that, like, that sounds like a Tribe record, bro.
It does, but it's just like.
Sounds like that early
Q tip. That's not even in my
early Q tip.
It's not my top 25 of Tribe Called Quest songs.
No. Well, I ain't mad at that. I think with Terry on that one. It's decent. Like,
I don't know. Maybe I have to listen to it out somewhere. This is when I was.
I mean, it's not going to be
the reason
award tour or nothing like that. It's not going to be that. But
no, it's not.
The reason why I don't like it is just because it's super repetitive. Over
it is.
And over and over and I don't like the loop.
You said early Q-tip. I felt that
it's early Q-tip.
Well, I felt that, but you'd be hard pressed to find a soundtrack that's. As polished as Boomerang. That's a hard one to beat, bro.
That was Babyface and the face. You know, and honestly, I'm thinking about scenes. They could have worked Hot Sex in there.
Oh, it could have definitely worked. But
they could have had one of them Strong J scenes. They could've worked Hot Sex in there.
They could have worked in Feels Good if they really wanted to.
You just gonna put
it wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
Was it
Boomerang?
Wait, Boomerang is 1992.
Feels Good was out.
Let me go look.
Yeah, it was out because Boys to Men's on there.
But you got to think when they were shooting the movie and
when the music direction came out, when they tried to score it.
1990 for Feels Good.
Okay, well it could have been.
It was out. It was out. Because Boomerang was.
It's got End of the Road on here, and End of the Road was on their second album.
It was the bridge between Coolio and Harmony and Two.
Boomerang was released in 92, so yeah, Feels Good definitely out. Was out.
Yeah, all right.
I remember that.
Got me on that one.
Yeah, that was quite the summer.
Mm. You could swap it with Kenny Vaughn's Feels Like Heaven.
I don't know. You could.
Long don't know Kenny Vaughn's Feel Like Heaven. He does. I remember saying that.
I was a young boy. I remember that scene in that movie where they played that.
Yeah, that was actually cool.
That was all right.
Yeah, I'm sure it was great. I'm just saying.
Not as good as It Feels Good was put in there.
Imagine in the Mandela effect, you know, like a different alternate universe.
He's going to try to find a way to put Feels Good.
I swear, man. Like, he's going to find a way
to put that in South Central.
Lone is the person that's going to be like.
Bobby Johnson Feels Good.
Lone is the person that's going to be like, there's going to be a scene in Boomerang where Martin and Eddie Murphy and them walking out the store, you know, when they scared the white dude, and he gonna put like Hey Little Walter underneath that or something from Tony, like, gas him up, bro, cause he will score this whole thing with Tony records, bro.
I have an idea.
See? Like Marcus Graham gonna have Lila Rashawn over at the crib,
he gonna have Pop sitting there showing off his mushroom.
And it's gonna be like, bang,
it's gonna be going feels good in the background while he's showing off the interior of his jacket.
I mean, that kind of sounds like it could go.
Oh my God, man.
It's gonna be the part.
This time next week, we'll see.
They gonna ride on Willie Manchester. It's gonna be like, and you know, it feels good.
Terrible.
Feels good. Lone, I'm actually, going to start off with, because you put this in Discord.
You said you don't know who Ben Shapiro is. He's got a song called Facts with Tom McDonald.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the first time Ben Shapiro has ever rapped.
Yep.
It sounds like it's the first time he's ever rapped.
Okay. Extremely corny.
And, you know, it's Tom McDonald doing Tom McDonald things. You know, it's not a good record. It's a rap power ballad. It's not hip hop. It's just what it is.
So, let me ask you this.
Number ones mean nothing, do they?
Man, listen.
Not if you're an influencer. You know, like anybody who's a big influencer can go get a number one because it's just people playing it.
So what does this say about the landscape? Because we talk about people that, quote unquote, play with hip hop, because we've had this conversation before, but it was actually when you were gone. This is the epitome, I think, of what you were talking about, because how this happened, I don't know, but this is clearly trolling.
It's not really what I was talking about. I mean, what I was talking about specifically was just the...
You don't think it's kind of in line with that?
You guys kind of took it another place, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
But my not to get too sidetracked, my intent was rappers that young people that get in, they enjoy rap, but their intent is legitimately just the bag. It's not to be... creatives in the
long
term.
About the culture and all that
Ben Shapiro
stuff.
Is a multimillionaire. He's right. Co-owner of the Daily Wire. He doesn't need money to rap or anything like that. So he's doing this just to kind of mock hip-hop is what it is. And rap music in general.
Which he's talked about. He's been against in the past, correct?
So he came out a few years ago and he made the statement that because of his musical background, of his dad being a professor or playing classical jazz music or something, I don't know what it is, doesn't matter. Because he's got this history, he's like, music, rap music is not technically music because it's just rhythm and, you know, like the music part is, but rapping isn't musical.
Right.
And he's trying to make this big argument, like, essentially what he's trying to do is demean hip-hop music and rap music and black culture of music, essentially, the popular black culture of music.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know Ben Shapiro, you know why he does this.
Mm-hmm.
To make it seem like it's less valuable, has less merit than any other type of genre that is out there.
Okay.
That was his thing. And so people are trying to equate the two right now, like, oh, now he's rapping. But now, like, I don't equate the two. I think it's just something silly he's doing just to
trolling.
He's trolling.
This is trolling. This is
100% trolling. Ben Shapiro.
Okay. All right.
This whole thing is, look, I saw the article, but then I saw, you know, number one, just while I'm scrolling through things, because number one can mean so many different things.
Yep.
Once again, there are people who have number one songs within the culture that we don't know, and we might get into that later, but this is just somebody trying to get a rise out of people. It's kind of like the same thing when I said the whole thing about Lil Nas X, and I said, don't let this guy get a rise out of you because this is just what he's doing.
Now, that was blatant.
When I was talking about people of faith.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and so as people who are hip hop fans, we need to just dismiss this. This is him trying to be dismissive in his own way. And since we know that.
Yeah.
Let's just no. You're a clown. You're playing to an audience that, you know, the whole thing of owning the libs, like that's your whole thing.
Yeah.
And you don't really care about right or wrong as long as you feel like you're on the right side of something, even if you know it's wrong, you're going to keep, you know, you're going to keep going with it. So I'm just one of those people that's like, I dismiss everything. I dismiss all these MAGA rappers.
Yeah.
Because yep. you're not a part of the culture. You're only doing this because you found a lane for people who are just as angry as you are. In fact, you're probably not even angry. You're just playing these people. Just like the people who are like, yeah, I support the people January 6th, but you weren't there down there with them because you knew that was illegal.
I saw the comments, actually, that I saw when I looked at the record on YouTube. I saw...
So you're driving the numbers up? Is that... Yeah. Man, but the curiosity... But you know what?
Out of curiosity.
You look at... And so you know how many yeah. people will go to something just based on curiosity?
They knew what they were doing. Yeah. 100%. But what I'm saying is, as I scroll through the comments, I saw people really going at the Shapiro guy, like clowning him, like talking about his past and how this is corny and, you know, the hoodie and his hands is in his pocket. Just people ripping him. But there was a huge amount of comments that were for this.
Yep.
I saw a lot of comments, a lot of likes, people saying, keep going, brothers. And, you know, mm-hmm. paraphrasing. But I'm seeing a lot of stuff where people were behind these two dudes, and those comments outweighed the people going at Shapiro and clowning him from what I saw.
Because, you know, there are people like me who wouldn't even click on it.
Right. Right.
You know, but the people who like Ben Shapiro and think, yes, that his worldview is something that I need to embrace because I feel marginalized.
Right.
You know, in this society that is becoming, you know, even with all its flaws, it is becoming more fair.
Right.
You know, and I don't know where my place is in a society that's becoming more fair.
Yeah.
That's, you yeah. know, it's kind of crazy, but.
But is that, you're, yeah,
that's you a know, bar right there.
Those are facts.
Yeah. You know, because look, there was a time when you could just say there were certain things that were just set aside for a white man.
Yeah.
You know, it was never when the coaching carousel, you know, we're at the end of the NFL season.
Yeah.
Coaching carousel. There was just a time until Art Shell came along with the LA Raiders. I think they were in LA at the time. There were no defensive coaches that or offensive coordinators who were black or
period
that were considered.
Period.
It just wasn't a thing. It used to be like, okay, you can play, but we're not going to let you coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, you know, I remember reading this story about one of the TV judges, and she talked about how her father had graduated at the top of his law school.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a job at a law firm, had to work in a linoleum factory for 3 years till he could open his own law firm because white law firms did not. Now, if you're black and you are capable and you're a lawyer, so now there's white mediocrity that's pushed to the margins.
Right.
And so as long as there's white mediocrity that's being pushed to the margins, there's going to be somebody like Ben Shapiro to say, hey, you're being marginalized because of fairness in the marketplace.
Right.
And we're going to make a rap song for you. Him having a number one rap song is not considering what's going on in society. I'm not surprised at all. I'm not surprised just because of the metrics and the way things, just like that one, try that in a small town, dude.
Oh yeah. That's yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like these are the things
yeah, we talk
that, you know, if you can get a part of that audience, it feels of those, that white, specifically white male audience feels marginalized by fairness in society. And you can bring up things like DEI
yeah.
and you can bring up things like
that's diversity, equity, inclusion for you guys that don't know.
Yeah. And you can bring up banning books in school about Jackie Robinson and, yeah. and Rosa Parks and, you know, all these things that are just hot button words, you know, and you can tie into that audience. You'll make $1 million easy.
You know what, Terry?
The anti-wokes.
We had a chance to play the record prior to going on to the show. And Terry, you said something that jumped out to me. And I actually agree with you 100% when you were talking about the concept of people playing with the hip hop culture, right? Because this is a prime example of people just trolling and playing with something that I would say all four of us take serious. Just kind of talk about how that makes you feel when you see something that just pops up like this that you know is inauthentic.
I really don't have a lot to add. I mean, I think other I than what really we said, touched on everything. I mean, it's just annoying when I see it at the end of the day.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
It is annoying. Yeah.
It's annoying because we know what he's doing, but at the same time, can't really give it much stock. It's only those people that are in the comments that are like, man, this is great.
But I saw it, bro.
Finally, a rap song for me.
Yeah, I saw it, bro.
And even like the reactions you'll see on TikTok. But the thing is everybody that's reacting the same exact way than praise are exactly what you would think they would look like.
The people that are reacting, there's
the sunglasses and the
yeah, but then there's also yeah. but they're also all conservatives. They're like, oh man, did you hear that bar about, you know, Muslims and Christians, or did you hear that yeah. bar? It's just like, that's yeah. not a bar, man. That's not a bar. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, I wouldn't even call it culture vulture. It's just he's just trolling. He's just trolling.
So this is just
Tom McDonald elite? Is definitely a culture vulture.
100%.
But he doesn't even do hip hop. He just makes rap music for white people.
So Shapiro is just an elite troll at this point. Yeah. On this, as it relates to the record.
But he always has been. And he's a debate bro. So he's one of those dudes that he understands how to debate extremely well. Mm-hmm. So like if you see him go up against somebody, he's really good at pivoting out of a talking point that he doesn't have into something else. It's like this whole idea that if you can win a debate, it means you're right. Well, no, that just means that you can win a debate. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're right. And he is definitely one of those guys. That's why, you know, facts, not his big shtick is facts, not feelings. But it's his facts
versus actual facts.
Exactly. Gotcha. A lot of times.
Look, he's one of those people that will have an argument with you about something that you can look up in a book.
Yeah. And
he'll pivot
and he'll change the direction of the conversation to something else. Anyways, that's enough about Ben Shapiro. We can move on.
Yeah, I saw him with his gold chains talking to.
He's like, yeah, I got the bling. Yeah. I'm in the clubs.
Yeah,
wear that to the wrong club and see what happens.
I saw the FaceTime or whatever you want to call it with the split screen. He's got his shades on and he's got fake gold chains. He's like, bro, we're number one in the country. I'm like, yeah, this dude. Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Thank you, man. Because now I have to, I'll do my due diligence.
Don't search him out.
I'm not going to waste too much time, but I'm glad you put me on game because that speaks a lot about a person that I didn't really know a lot about that I've now formed feelings about based off the minimal amount of information that I've been
he's
provided.
He's supremely, like, if you ever heard the term, like, bad faith, mm-hmm. he's one of those people that always operates in bad faith.
Gotcha.
So, it's not even worth it.
Well, let's stop talking about that goofy then, if that's the case. Talking about pivots, perhaps we should pivot.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so let's talk about Marshall, man. Marshall's been in the news, man. Did y'all know that? Y'all had to have. Marshall been in the news, Jay Moore.
Yeah.
There's a Doomsday 2 record. He dissing people. He dissing Benzino. He dissing his daughter. Made a bar about him being a giraffe and no neck and, you know.
Unfortunately, a lot of Eminem's target audience is similar to the last topic, so I don't really pay attention to him.
That's the crazy thing is because.
And Eminem's completely different. He doesn't align with them at all.
Exactly. Well, you know what? A lot of those people who would have been his, like when he came out against Trump, like there are people who sang his praises, but when he did that freestyle on BET Awards.
Hyperventilate loaning.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden there were questions from that side of the aisle about Eminem because that was still one of their heroes until he took a political stand. So this
bar came out. I was aware of Eminem and Benzino because this go back. But
yeah,
he caught a stray and his daughter caught a stray in some random Doomsday Part 2 diss record that Eminem put out. And Benzino did a response over Jay-Z's, what's the record off Volume 1?
Something old.
It's dope, though. Y'all know the beat if you hear it. But
Benzino had a follow-up beef track with a beat that's like 25 years old.
Yeah, that's on brand for him, right? So one of the bars in there, he talked about how Eminem, and I'm paraphrasing here, but how he picks the certain people that he wants to battle with, mm-hmm. right? So I started analyzing Eminem's opponents for his battles throughout the course of his career.
Okay.
So my question to you all is, has Eminem battled down from a talent standpoint throughout the course of his career? Because
Benzino, tell us the statistics? Did you look
them up? Well, Mariah Carey, Machine Gun. Let me get another one. I had a list too. I had a whole list.
I think you're
Benzino.
Lying. This is that line
Benzino counts,
that we were talking about earlier on about how you've kind of changed, but not really because you're lying right now.
I'm not lying because
you don't have a list.
He's battled. There was a list though. There was a whole list. I'm about to find it.
Okay, let's wait. We're going to sit here.
Wasn't a situation with him and Candace.
We're going to wait.
These are people though, like that's what I'm saying, like bro, if you think about the list of the people that he's battled, how many people do you remember that Eminem has battled that have been elite MCs?
Well, he only goes at people that are
that come at him
stars. That pop stars and people that, but also people that come at him that are bigger than him, right?
Okay.
I mean, he said the Michael Jackson stuff, but I don't think Michael Jackson came at him.
No.
He bought his publishing.
So Michael, that was Michael Jackson's version of battle rapping. Yeah. I'm just going to buy your publishing. Yeah, I guess Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon and
because that was one of Benzino's points, is how he picks his battles in terms of when he wants to rap. And of course, he called him Culture Vulture and all the rest of that stuff. But that's the part that stood out to me, because Eminem has battled a lot of people.
Me, as somebody who's not a huge Eminem fan, but I respect him as an individual.
Really?
But somebody who respects him as an individual and as a person, and that, you know, he is super talented. Like, Benzino is, we shouldn't even be talking about this. Like, Benzino's not a big enough name or anybody relevant enough that we should even be talking about him talking about.
I've got nothing.
I mean, who cares about Benzino's rap? He's never been good.
It's actually more about Eminem actually mentioning Benzino. I'm talking about in terms of what you're talking. I'm validating what you're saying, because it's really not about Benzino at all. Nobody cares about that. But I'm just saying the concept of Eminem and who he's battled over the course of his career.
Did he go at like Royce and Joe Budden and all them, like Ja Rule and all them? I mean, I see some names in the chat.
He did go at Ja Rule on the strength of 50, but
that was off 50.
They
pretty much
jumped Ja Rule at the end of the day.
It was him and Busta Rhymes had words for Ja Rule. It got bad at one point.
Mm. I don't know, man.
Has he battled down Jay Moore, in your opinion?
In a way, yes. But at the same time, it's Eminem. And like, first of all, let's just say this. Him even trying to just, you know, gain some clout right now off of a diss record, and you're going at Benzino and his daughter. First of all, that's corny to go after Coyle Ray. What has she done to you?
On Eminem's part, that's corny.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Like,
all right.
Okay, we just, because, you know, even when you're engaging in war, you know, and anything gangsterism, kids are off limits. You know, so
she's grown, though.
I know
she's grown.
But still, the only reason you're engaging with her at all is because she's Benzino's daughter, because they've probably had zero interaction. Like, or, you know, they're, you probably know, Coyle Ray hasn't said anything about Eminem.
I don't even know what the bar is. Was it even like
it wasn't nothing. It's nothing,
you know, but it's, you crazy, know, but once bro. Again, it's just like, nah, man, come on. That was just corny on your part. If you still are holding on to whatever Benzino did 20 years ago when he was dealing with the source, you got to understand, it's like, first of all, you won.
Right.
Okay, you won. All right, Benzino, nothing against, you know, he's living his life, doing whatever, but you're where you are, and you did, Benzino is where he is, and you did the Super Bowl a couple years ago, okay? So clearly, you're in a good space right now.
True.
Right. You're still able to put out records that, good or bad, people care about and care enough about to listen to and engage with and have conversations about. I can't say the same for Benzino, you know, when you've won, there's no need to just start, you know, start pointing and tap dancing all over the person you beat. And so, like, I understand this is hip hop, this is competition, but like, and plus, if you're Eminem, if you're trying to get your name back out there, and this is part of a rollout, why would you start with Benzino and Coyle Ray?
Well, Coyle Ray's kind of high right now. You know,
she's got
a dope follow.
You know, but at the same time, this is where things get complicated, because, you know, Coyle Ray's on the new Busta album. Busta's kind of all tied into, you know, that for less, you know, Aftermath G Unit from when they was all in the same, you know, thing together. So I don't know. I just think
Eminem doesn't have to say anything to anybody and is going to move the needle regardless. Yeah.
He doesn't have to.
A lot of these beefs are just, I mean, it's not even really beef.
I don't think it's beef either.
It's just talking to be talking and putting words together and similes and phrases and all Eminem type stuff. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm thinking, you know, at this end of the day,
it's annoying. And he's a dope MC.
Yeah,
but this is kind of a tired shtick to me.
And plus, like, I'm at this point because I'm getting to that age where I'm like, dude, aren't you 50?
They 50.
Aren't you 50 something?
He still can rap now.
It doesn't, but like, you doing this,
like, to somebody that was actually saying something to him, then yeah, it would make more sense. But nobody, like Long said, nobody's thinking about Benzino.
I actually found what I was looking for. Because they have the names of the records, but we've already mentioned them.
I'm sure it's not your list, though.
The majority of them we've already mentioned, because it starts with Ja Rule and goes into Benzino. Obviously, we talked about that. Machine Gun Kelly, Cannabis, Christina Aguilera, George W. Bush. You know, Kim is going to be in there, so
yeah,
that's on
cares?
The list.
At
we don't care
point.
About
yeah,
that.
This, yeah, come on.
I don't know, man. Seems like a downward.
It just seems like, honestly, this is, I downward mean, approach, he seemed
bro.
Bored.
Dude, put out bored talking about it, man.
I think Terry is right, though. Terry, we really could have ended it there, because it's just a part of it.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's not really worth talking about.
Yeah,
oh, Eminem's rapping about people again? Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's right on brand for him.
Like, cool, that's what he does, man. That's...
When last time we talked about Benzino?
I don't know. I don't think.
In almost 400 episodes, I think this is the first time.
This is the first time we talked
Benzino.
About dude.
No, yeah. We've definitely talked about him, probably, but not He doesn't ever deserve his own segment. So
we've talked about Coyle. I know we've mentioned Coyle Ray, but sure. I don't think.
Yeah, because I remember I didn't know that she was his
daughter
at one point in time. But
she made good records though. So
she got some joints.
Yeah, she got some.
I'm not going. Yeah, I can't even say that she doesn't.
Yeah, as the kids say, I'm not about to cap. She got some joints. Did you guys see one of the greatest of all time? By the way, Lil Wayne. Y'all see his explanation for why Drake gets hated on the hip hop?
Nope.
Why don't you tell us?
He's light skinned.
Yes. That's literally what he said. And this is on Richard Sherman's podcast. Mm. Shout out to Richard Sherman. That's one of my favorite cornerbacks. Dude was a beast in Seattle. He basically said, how I know is because I'm not light skinned. I hated on all light skinned dudes in school. So yeah, it's an American history, man.
Lil Wayne's got sometimes he's got bruh. Stuff where he says where it's just like, Wayne's, you know, and then other things he says is just like, man, bruh. What?
Bruh.
I mean, colorism has always existed.
For sure.
In the black community and whatnot.
There we go.
But Drake's not the only light-skinned mixed rapper, man.
I mean, there's literally a guy in his same class named J. Cole.
That's what, literally that who I was thinking
thank
of.
We you, don't man. Think these same things
thank
about.
Thank you, man.
So then, is it because he's light-skinned and Canadian?
Now, I did see.
I mean, there's a problem with these damn Canadians.
So, dirty foreigners.
Dirty foreigners out here.
That's terrible. I mean, light skin went out in the 80s when El DeBarge and all of them.
El DeBarge. So. He dropped a par right there.
I'm just talking ish at the end of the day. I mean.
I know where you're going. Yeah, I know
where
you're
going. The only people that think like that are people that probably consider themselves ugly. I'm just going to say that.
Sorry, that. Okay. All right. So
he said it so calm though, and took a sip after.
So all you ugly MFs out there, please stop hating on light skinned Canadians.
Terry, that's basically it.
I mean, we can.
I think that's it. I don't think we need to go any further.
I thought it was going to go longer than that, man. You just going to close it off?
Man, I just got short quips today. That's all I got.
And you know what? I'm with it. This is my type of.
Yo!
We could do like a whole bunch of segments.
Yeah, I think we could do every subject in the thing tonight.
What else we got?
I really don't have anything else to say.
I mean, Lil Wayne doesn't. It's a stupid response. It doesn't make sense.
Dang, Terry, that's it, bro.
Oh my God, man. Sorry.
Ugly month. Okay, all right. Let me stop.
Yeah, let's run the partners.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Yeah, welcome back to the new old head.
Got high votes on that one, and yeah. So much for that one.
What else are we talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, I ended that one. Let's talk about... okay, we can try this. We've been around long enough to answer this question, I believe. This came up in conversation with people alone, but I'm not going to bring that up because I know you hate them.
You just did.
That's just payback for the raisins. So,
well, California raisins, you didn't collect California raisins as a kid.
I had all of them from Hardy.
So, what is the problem?
Yeah,
with
what's
raisins?
The issue with raisins?
See,
we want to do a deep dive.
Yeah, I'm trying to get down to the
every time somebody
raisins
says,
are a real wholesome snack, unless you know.
See, y'all,
the only time I hate raisins is when I'm thinking I'm gonna get a chocolate chip cookie and it's oatmeal raisin.
And I actually love it.
I like oatmeal raisin.
No, I do, but like when I want a chocolate chip cookie, I don't want no oatmeal raisin.
Yeah, I actually prefer oatmeal raisin, to be honest with you, because of the raisins.
Mm. But a good old real raisin cookie, boy howdy.
Yeah, they're fire, man.
Yeah.
And they're the best cookies for you, or one of the best cookies for you. I mean, if you're gonna consider
if you're gonna be out here eating cookies,
yeah. You don't really even need milk to drink them.
Nope.
So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, that's why, because I can't have milk right now. So oatmeal raisins are great. But tell me more. Tell me more, Mike.
Really, what is it like?
Tell me more about Mr. Conkshell.
Is this just because you'd rather them be in a form of grapes? Don't want them as raisins?
Did you hate the song Heard It Through the Grapevine? You didn't like it?
Listen, man. I'm trying to explain this to y'all the best way I possibly can.
No, okay. We're here to listen.
It's not about raisins. It's about loan. Loan has a unique skill set that he can frustrate me by doing regular life things. He's the only person that does this. I don't know anybody else that does this. Maybe that's my problem. It has nothing to do with loan. Okay, cool. I'll accept that. This is my therapy
session.
We've
already had that conversation.
That's what I'm saying.
But you brought it back to raisins.
No, no, no.
That's the problem.
This is stupid. Like, see, you putting lotion on it. That's stupid. That's just as dumb as raisins.
You don't want them to stay moisturized.
See, now you go take it and run. See?
This is wild.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, y'all don't see how that's, there's no reason for him to do that. Why don't you get mad when
it's
he does
it? It's cold
that?
Outside.
Now, if I did that, you'd be like, man, that's Mike.
I really did that before the show started.
Before the show started. Now, if I did
nobody
that.
Nobody saw it.
All right, man. I'm not about to let y'all do this, bro. Because I'm starting to get frustrated.
I think you're already there.
I'm not frustrated. No, you want me to be frustrated. Nah, I'm not frustrated. Yes, you do. Perhaps we can get back to this rundown.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Let's go.
This came up through random conversation. How much of hip hop has been affected by social media and what other ramifications? Now, we've been around long enough, I believe, to see this. Is there any one thing or a couple of things that you guys think have more weight when we talk about social media and the ramifications of, you know, what comes with that as it relates to hip hop?
Social media has destroyed people's self-esteem.
Oh, okay.
That's not a hip hop thing, though. No.
Yeah, I know, but it plays
self-esteem
into,
with the artist.
No, it plays into the decisions that artists will make based on their view of the world. And for us being old enough to remember what it was not to have a view of everyone's daily life through our phones. If you're a young artist, it's just, I'm bad at math, so we'll just say you're following 100 people. Most people don't follow 100 people who are actively engaged in social media. Say 60 of those 100, you know, it shows them standing next to their favorite artist, chilling at the award show. Mm-hmm. You know, they hopping out of Range Rovers. They getting bottle service. They're on the beach with, you know, girls with BBLs. In your mind, if you're an artist and you're trying to make it out here,
mm-hmm.
it's affecting your self-esteem because you're not at those places and you think in your mind it's and this is, we could extrapolate this towards people who aren't even artists. But if you're an artist, you see that, you think that's 60% of how you of the world lives. Why am I not part of that 60%? Even though that's 0.1% of the people who have an ability to be on those stages, have those opportunities and be financially off in a way to where you can get out of a Range Rover or Bentley or Rolls Royce. Like, it doesn't register you that they only sell 2,500 Bentleys in the entire country in an entire year. You think everybody, 60% of the people in the country, you know, are just through your worldview and the spaces that you inhabit should have access to those things. Mm. And so it makes artists do things that would maybe be out of their character because they think it's a shortcut to getting close to those things that are a part of their worldview.
So is it that the keeping up with the Joneses concept?
It's the keeping up with the Joneses. And it, like I said, it messes you with your, if you think that you're dope and you're in a space to where people should acknowledge your artistic expression.
Right.
And you're still driving, you know, a Honda Accord, which is a good car that can get you from A to B.
I ain't gonna hold you.
You know what I'm saying? When you go to the club, you have to stand in line and pay to get in, you know, and nobody invites you into VIP. And you have to be with girls that don't have money for surgery.
Right.
And it messes with your self-esteem because you think that you are not a part of the 60% worldview. Like I said, I'm throwing out numbers just because I'm not good at math. And I'm just trying to make it make sense to people who are listening in the short term right now. I think that's why you see artists do things that I think are so far out of their character, because the quicker you can get on just through spectacle, we've talked about spectacle.
Yeah, we have.
You feel like the quicker you can get to those things that you think you are owed, either you don't believe enough in your talent or you don't believe enough in people's ability to recognize talent to where you'll stay within the integrity of the actual artistic expression that you feel. You'll be like, okay, well, let me get out here. How, you know, we talk about people just getting out here to shake ass.
Yeah.
And it's a shortcut, even if it's going to only get you attention for the wrong reasons and for the short term. For some people, that's enough. I see a lot of people shaking ass and they just want the attention real quickly so they get a little bit of that light.
For me, it is, nothing is special anymore. Nothing is, I don't want to use the word sacred, but I guess I can to a certain extent, because I couldn't see what Outkast, what their daily life was like when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. These guys were like superheroes that you put on a poster. So all I could see was what I saw on videos. Nothing is special anymore. We're in a situation where everything is microwaved. Even the music that you put out now, you can't sit with it long enough for it to be special because there's such an abundance of music.
This is not a hip hop problem, though, man.
No, I'm just, you don't think so?
No, I mean, this is, we're talking about social media. And yeah, granted,
I think it applies to hip hop.
Jay Moore said, and what you're saying, I can see it being hip hop.
I try to boil it down to what, at this point, if you're 21 years old, you grew up with social media. You don't know what it is not to have it.
Right. But do y'all, at the same, what my thing is, it's again, hip hop always is the scapegoat. It's like, let's all, whether it's a TV show and we say it's love and hip hop and the show has nothing to do with hip hop. It's always somehow hip hop gets thrust into everything that's out right now.
To be blamed.
But let's, right. Let's,
but it really doesn't, in my personal opinion, it doesn't have anything to do with hip hop as far as social media.
I'm blaming social media. About, I'm not blaming hip hop.
But I think the conversation, Terry, is less about like, why is hip hop the problem with social media, but maybe like what parts of social media have affected hip hop?
Yes, I'm not, you know, blaming, I mean, hip hop when I see what he's saying though, because it is, it's so easy just to throw it into everything. I get that part, but I'm more of what you're saying on about just how it's affected it, just from a consumer standpoint and us being involved with it. And I just don't think the connection and just the fact that people used to be, we had no choice but to spend certain amount of times with things, which made us tied, you know, tied to a little bit more. Nothing is special anymore. Nothing stands out anymore to me because of just the oversaturation, bro. Now that could be all genres, but we just talk about hip hop.
It is.
We just talk about hip hop as it stands right now.
So it's like, to both your guys' point and Jay's point, I think it just comes down to hip hop is, we're talking specifically about hip hop, but it's a societal issue here.
There we go.
And the societal issue is that, sure, there are people that hip hop artists that engage in scene people out there that are doing better than them, and there's a self-esteem problem. There are hip-hop artists that fall into that category, but there are regular people that fall into that category too.
True.
Probably more regular people than not. I would take it even a step further to say that there's one thing that I've noticed with the kids that I teach. Everybody chases numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And from an artist standpoint, even from an R standpoint, as from a podcast, sometimes it's hard to, you know, if we have a week where like our numbers are lower than regular, even if the episode was good, I know that I kind of look at the episode like, man, what did we do wrong this week?
What happened this week?
You know, like, what happened this week? Like, is the thumbnail off or is it something that happened like in the last couple weeks, not translating over to the newer weeks? You know what I mean? Like, or something like that. Or was a segment bad? Or are our short clips not as good this week as they were before that's driving people to that stuff? Or why are people not engaging? And a lot of times it's, we have no control over this stuff at all. It's just like the way the algorithm moves and what the algorithm wants to reward. That affects us. That affects us as musicians. That affects me as a music producer that puts out remixes or, and you know, when I share one video and I think this is a really dope song, but it gets less engagement than this other video over here that I don't think is as good. So it's like, which is good, which is better, which is not, you know, how do I maneuver that? So I think to that degree, I think it's more of a societal issue because it affects everybody. And then you got kids running around that are coming up in a world where all they see is numbers. And they think that if something doesn't have high numbers, then it doesn't have value.
And what you just said about the kids and the societal standpoint, we want to bring it back around, bring it back around to hip hop and just artists. That mindset still can be carried over by artists. All I have to do is focus on the numbers. As I'm a creative and as I come up, even if I'm working on records in my bedroom or whatever, focus on the numbers, focus on the numbers. What does that do? That pushes the quality of the music back. It pushes the attention to detail to the music back because everything is focused on the numbers. So what can I do to get the most numbers? And that, to me, is a hindrance to the artists that are coming up because they don't care about anything but trying to get the numbers. And, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. And at the end of the day, the numbers aspect of everything, a lot of times I think some people that are creators and content people, artists fall into that category, is they'll look, well, this is, if I do this, it gets me numbers, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but you don't understand who you also lose at the same time while following these trends. You know,
right.
You may not get as many views from this video over here, but you may gain some people that really, truly respect what you're doing.
Right.
And those are the people that are going to be actual fans as opposed to people that are just going to be onlookers. And there's a difference between those two things. Social media clouds that. Social media makes it extremely hard because the numbers are right in our face. Everybody can see the numbers. Sure, we can turn the numbers off on like YouTube if we want.
But,
you know, we can turn the likes off. We can do that stuff. YouTube has made that step. And I think, honestly, I'll be honest, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. To do the, remove, the turn off?
Yeah. Turn the numbers off completely so nobody can see it but you on the back end. Because there's so many other voices.
Do you know how devastating that would be? There are people that would go through, I'm not going to say depression, but there's some serious issues that would come with people not being able to see their numbers.
Depression
is not too strong of a word to use.
People will always be able to see their numbers. It's just the public that won't be able to see their numbers.
But
that's different.
But that's the concept. It's like they can't see that I'm actually being super successful, and that bothers me. I think there's people like that.
Yeah, and I think those people in general will keep the numbers on.
Right.
Do you guys remember when it used to show how many dislikes a video had on YouTube?
Yeah.
They removed that function. But on YouTube, you can still see how many people dislike your video.
Thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as far as engagement for the algorithm's concerned, a thumbs up is just as good as a thumbs down.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's still engagement. I don't know. I think it would be good, you know, like likes on a video. Like, I don't know how many times in our videos people would be like, yeah, man, look at all the comments. And I'm like, yeah, but look at all the likes. And they'll be like, yeah, look at all these people that don't agree with you. I'm like, yeah, but 5 times more people agreed with what we said.
And actually hit the like button.
And it's just like having to have that type of a conversation in a comment section with somebody. It's like, it just goes down to the trolls and it goes, to me, again, it's not a hip hop thing, but it's a social media thing. But to me, that's the biggest thing. The biggest issue with social media is just everybody thinks that they're an expert because they have access to view. They think they have access to your analytics.
Right.
They think they, you know, they can see all these things. I don't know how many students I come in and I'll tell them about what I've done and be like, yeah, what video do you have that has the most views, or how many plays does this song have
I just went through this.
I'm just like, it's just like, I almost want to just kind of like sun them in a way. I do on a regular basis, because it's just like you have to change that way of thinking, but it's so indoctrinated into the younger generation that it's detrimental to everything, because everything is numbers based. But that's my soapbox. So,
hey, look, there are studies that have said that people get a certain dopamine hit when they see
100%
that like, or you know, somebody hits that heart. You can comment on someone else's page.
Yeah.
And people like your comment on their page.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, so that's like a bunch, you know, you could almost put those hearts in a little baggie.
Yeah.
and sell them on a corner.
It's like you walk around with them in your pocket. It's like, yeah, man, I made a comment on somebody else's page and 100 people liked it. Let me put that in my pocket and feel better about myself.
I think that's why it triggers me every time you say like, oh, that's 150 comments. I'm like, shut up, Mike. Nobody cares.
Smooth Hoosier just made a very good point, because we see this all the time. He says, funny, when a celebrity likes someone's IG story, they share it. That goes to the dopamine part. You're talking about the rush.
You mean like when somebody,
yeah, like so somebody,
a celebrity likes them, and then they'll reshare that.
I'll take a screenshot of it and be like, yeah, man, so Morgan Freeman liked something that I did, right? don't do that.
Hey,
don't do that.
We love Morgan Freeman. Yeah, but
because if Morgan Freeman liked one of your posts,
of all the celebrities you could have thought of, you're like, yeah,
I like what
Morgan
that major 7th guy is doing over there on his Instagram page. He's doing a great job with the posts.
It's not Morgan Freeman, man. I felt like it was different, and I'm being the old head on in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like it was just different because the artists were bigger than life. Now, social media has put there's a filter in there. Now the wall has been torn down. It's like you feel like you know them based off what you can see on a daily basis. Now I don't know any of these people, but you feel like you know them because you can see so many things that they share. And that's different. There was a mystery. Somebody put it in the comments. I can't remember who said it. It was a mystery to it.
Anyway, that's enough about this. The segment's not going to do anything anyways. So
too much game going on here. Actual conversation.
It got kind of serious and kind of helpful.
Did you guys see any of this Common Talk with it? You said Common Talk's about the importance of self-care and rest for artists. I didn't watch the whole thing, but that you talking about, was that with him and Sway? Because I saw
the Hot 97. Yeah, he talked about
with
it
the Ebro. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he was talking about how he learned how important it was just to pull back, because you get so caught up in the grind of grinding shows. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the fact that he had to learn how to get more rest, relaxation, to bring himself down after shows, all that type of stuff. As he got older, he learned how more valuable that was, because when you're a younger artist, you think about the grind so much that you run yourself into a wall.
The grind will kill you.
Thank you. Like he's basically saying, yeah, like you can run yourself into a wall by working so hard to get to where you are, where you don't take those breaks.
And then you don't end up enjoying it when you get there.
Exactly. Too. Because he's like, I'm so tired once I get there, I can't even really enjoy the fruits of my labor. So it was dope to see him talk about that, because Common's clearly old enough to be able to speak on this. And he said he's made those adjustments in the latter part of his career.
Seems like he has.
And it's helped him. He was out the gate.
He just wrote a book, right? Like,
I know he has
Power of
book.
Now or something.
Yeah, I know he has another book out. Can we retire the whole concept of showing reverence to people who are grinding?
Because it's capitalism.
Because if you think about what grinding is, think about if anything is grinding, you're wearing it down.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what part, what stage of the grinding. Because, I mean, literally everything that we go through of some kind of importance, you're going to grind.
Yep.
In some way, shape, or form. You know what I'm saying? So I don't necessarily think it's the whole grinding thing. I think it's the pretty much wearing yourself down to the point where you don't have anything else to give.
I would argue that under the system of capitalism, that it automatically will get to the point to where you wear yourself out, because we're always striving to get more. That's literally what we're...
Like, I had to be...
There's no rest for the weary, and if you're not grinding, then you're not getting to it. And then if you're not grinding hard enough, then somebody's making fun of you, or, you know, for not grinding hard enough, or it'd be like, oh, you just need to work harder.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a thing.
We think... this is the worst thing about our society right now, where if someone is not up, we think they're not working hard enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Nobody... First of all, nobody works harder than poor people in this country.
Yep. Mm.
Okay?
Yes. Nobody works harder than... crackheads, but
well, they're poor.
They're definitely some of them.
They always got money.
There's some crackheads out here that's up.
Up though.
No, yeah. But I just think, like,
any crackheads want to sponsor the show?
No, I remember there was
some of y'all got enough money to sponsor.
There was this one clip that went viral. Kim Kardashian was like, get your effing ass up and go work. And
yeah, I saw that.
I was like, you know how you got on is you was getting worked.
Talk to him, Jay Moore. Talk to him.
So
talking, I'm trying to tell women about how they need to work hard to be able to get to where they are.
Everybody is not willing. Some people have more dignity than do what you do, but I'm not going to.
And it was all staged anyway.
It was all staged. Your mom had craft services there for the video.
Come on, man.
And a key grip and all that.
Yeah, but be careful. Understand how you actually came up.
Yeah, yeah.
My daddy's a lawyer. Be cool.
But, you know, I digress.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Yeah, she really started from the bottom.
She wants you to think she's
on the bottom.
Yeah, Ray J started on the bottom. That's gonna get.
But hey, do you, ladies?
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. She started on the bottom for sure.
No, but I'm just saying. There's a sometimes, you know, we talk about people who work.
Yeah,
and you know they don't like, especially if you know how the economic structure is set up right now. We always go back to capitalism. Like, if you see somebody that works all the like, I'm telling you right now, I work 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I have several jobs. I'm just now getting my, you know, my first little W-2. And you know what I'm saying? For as much as I work, sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this? I should just get out here and sell crack. You know, sometimes it is frustrating to get out to work and try to do
put
the right
thing.
Put
that actual work in, the right way.
And you doing everything the right way.
Yeah.
And you try to be of value to other people, and you see what you have at the end of the month, and it makes you it's hard not to be mad. But
we operate under the myth of meritocracy, the myth that as long as you work hard, you're going to reach your end level. And the fact of the matter is that's not the truth. Now, granted, to Terry's point, if you can't get there if you don't work hard, but nobody is guaranteed just because you work hard. Yeah. And that's what we were sold when we were kids by the generation before us. Mm-hmm. It's just not real.
If you just work hard, it's going to happen for you.
And I'm talking about...
I think the problem is, I hate the phrase, I'll sleep when I die.
Yeah.
Because you will literally kill yourself not getting rest.
Mm-hmm. I did when I was younger. You know what I'm saying?
That's what comments talk about.
That's the problem that kind of bothers me. But I mean, at the end of the day, unfortunately, life is a grind.
True.
Yeah. Because like it was,
it literally takes a toll on you.
Mm-hmm. Because for Thanksgiving, like I had to be convinced by my family to take some time off and go to Miami for Thanksgiving. I didn't want to do it.
Look, man. Like,
I was, you know,
would you say long?
I needed to put my feet in the sand.
Look.
Yeah.
Well, but to me, I was like, I was just going to leave for a day and come back and get right to it. But I was like, no, I didn't need to do that. You know, like it wasn't going to benefit me. I wouldn't go. The amount of money I would have made would have made a difference in what
I heard that
my bottom line. Anyway, let me go be with my family
and have a good time
and put my feet in the sand and let the sun hit my face for a few minutes.
Facts.
Many of us are very indoctrinated, myself included, that I had to convince myself to go see my wife.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I had to just go because of all the things that I have to do. But it's just like, what am I even saying? Like, what am I even thinking? Just go. I'm conscious of this stuff and I'm still affected by it just because it's the culture. It's the culture of everything. And so common talking about this is
self-care and rest, man. Like, those are the things that he was hitting on, self-care and rest.
And it's super important because you have to find time to rest. You have to find time to get away for a little while to break the monotony up, no matter what, you know, whether, no, and it's different for different people. When I see common interviews and when I see him talking nowadays in the last decade, realistically, he just seems like he's always in a good spot. And so that's really kind of cool to see.
And you know,
he's always got a cool girlfriend.
Man,
who's he dating? He's Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
They're like engaged or something now, right?
I don't know, but that's that, but he winning though. I'll tell you that.
He be having his little fun.
Look,
he has a lot to smile about.
He definitely winning right now though in life, from what I see.
Rappers, you might have felt some way about Common. He out here doing a light and this, that, the third, wearing them weird clothes. But you know, if you see what his end game is, hey, that's how you want to be when you're in your 50s.
I swear.
But he talked. I saw a clip of him today when he was on Sway, and he talked about how that the worst part, kind of like the hardest point in his life, was when he released Electric Circus and him and Erica split. And he was like, that was the first big adult love that he went through. Mm-hmm. And you know, he had to,
she was out here breaking everybody's heart,
man. Look here.
But he talked about how that was the hard part in his life and he had to, like, you know, bounce back from it.
Look, I just want to know about his beard management. You know, how you keeping that beard so incredibly black, and I know he older than me.
Might be some, you know he got some juices and berries.
Yeah. Something, you know, he's got some professionals working on that situation. Yeah.
And nobody, like you said,
Beijing.
No.
He just got a good.
He got a good mix. Balance.
Yeah, he didn't get to just straight out black. He got the one that's actually the right color for him and what he was. So it doesn't stand out like that. Yeah. It looks like how it's supposed to look.
Terry said he picked the right color.
Some people have a black and brown blend.
Yeah, I see some people who are, you know, I see, or I was like, yeah, hey, look, James Brown from. What sports is he on? Fox.
Fox. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He
has hair.
CBS. CBS.
I want to know what your formula is, fam. Because
and whatever Carlos Boozer's doing, I don't know, man.
No, that was different. Polish. He was out there with shoe polish.
He's still out there.
Shoe polish.
It's very interesting.
I was like, how you gonna play a sport where you know you're gonna sweat and you out here with shoe polish?
James Brown hole. No.
I don't know what that is.
Well. Get that self-care and get that rest.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, at the end of the day, get that, because you drive yourself crazy out here trying to chase your dreams. And we all want them.
Like,
we
chasing all, these dreams.
Yeah, like, I'm...
Because nothing's ever good enough at the end of the day.
Thank you.
You just got to find that balance the best you can.
It doesn't matter how far you get. You'll always see something that's bigger and better and be like, well, I ain't really doing nothing because I don't have that. You know.
What do you think about your friends or family, will just say, just to loop everybody in, what do you think about people that tell you you're not working hard enough? And from
I tell them about themselves.
And
these
from
days.
And from their standpoint alone, they're thinking they want to try to motivate you. They're saying they're motivating you by saying that. But what's your response to when people say, you know what, fam, you're not working hard enough?
I think it depends on the situation.
And who it comes from?
Yeah, and who it comes from. I think that matters because some people know you and some people know if you're slacking off in a particular way. But also some, you know, not everybody is privy to everything that's going on in your life at the same time. Exactly. So, you know, so there's multiple things at play. But there, it is possible that you aren't doing enough in one area and you're slacking a little bit if you're trying to reach something.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, like there is a balance to be played. But if somebody comes up to me and says something, you know.
I'd be like, do you want me to fight you right now?
It's like, number one, you got to work harder than me to, one, have that conversation with me. Mm. That's number one.
Because you really don't know in real life. You really don't know.
Yeah.
You really don't know.
And that's just, you know, like if I feel like I'm busy all the time and I feel like I'm stretched and all this other stuff, then yeah, you know, I'm going to react a very specific way, but. Yeah, when I get it from like family members, it would be different if I'm getting it from like a friend or a coworker and we're striving for something as opposed to a family member who is retired.
You're hating them from the side.
It's just like, man, just go sit down somewhere because that's all you do anyways.
Go watch Matlock. Leave me alone.
They was getting houses and stuff when they were like $40,000.
Mm-hmm. Man.
And they're telling you, you're not working hard enough. When
in 2024.
It's a little different out here.
Work at the Burger Chef and pay your tuition for two semesters if you just worked in the summer.
Working part-time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just figured I'd ask because I'm with Loan. It depends on the messenger because some people are clearly over their skis all the way over, clearly out of bounds saying stuff. And I'm like, fam, you're not the person to tell me that. Yeah. You're not.
But I will continue telling you guys to read that freaking book every single time I see you from now on. Read the book. Read the book.
Did you want to curse or?
Stop sleeping. Read the book.
And then go to sleep.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to the chat.
Ghostface, I can't go to sleep.
Well, then you got plenty of time to read the book, Jay.
Shout out to the chat. I see
y'all. When am I going to play Nintendo Switch?
Well, put it on in the background. You know what I mean? You know what I like to do?
What?
I will put on a book on tape or something in the background, and I will play video games. The only problem is that I have to listen to the book like three times.
To get
it's
everything.
It's just like music, like playing music. I'll be like, oh, I didn't catch that the first time. That's what I do.
Well, that's why it's hard for me to get through the campaign. In games, because
if I'm playing like Call of Duty, though, or if I'm playing like, or you know, like a game where you're just repetitively killing things, or like the game that I'm playing now where I'm just mining, literally, like I'm
you're making just digging, which is making another a condo thing. out of rocks,
which is another thing that frustrates me. Just if y'all keeping track out there,
I got a hobbit hut in this game.
Frodo and them gonna come through and show.
I really,
but that's relaxing to me. Like that's what I do to wind down. Is I'll find games where I can just build things and I'll just literally put something on in the background and not really pay attention to anything at the same time while I'm just digging.
Yeah, it's Middle Earthing.
Yeah, he's definitely Iron Milk. I saw it.
I seen it.
He got a good Middle Earth going on right now.
Hey, man, maybe I'll make a video of this Hobbit hut that I'm creating in the middle of this boulder.
Yeah, that definitely pissed me off.
You got two bedrooms.
Not yet, but we're getting there.
Okay. Oh, God. Shout out to the chat. We appreciate y'all that stuck around. I see y'all still in here. Thank you for that. NewOldEds.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up for it, hit the bell, notifications. And don't forget that Patreon. We'll see y'all next week. All right, y'all. Peace.
Yeah.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, 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 bye.